What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. This is episode number, don't quote me, but I believe it's 7 of Challenge Battle for a New Champion, season 39. And back with me this week is Lauren Blair Donovan. I'm 2 for 2 now on getting all the syllables right when I attempt to do so.
I'm annoying with a lot of names and hyphens and all the things. So you're doing great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We're coming back. I hope everybody had a, enjoyable holiday weekend. I'm kind of still just in recovery mode, not because I did anything super eventful, but because, you know, anytime you intake a lot of food over a long sustained period of time, it tends to kind of, you know, drag you down just a tad bit from experience, if anybody's dealt with that. But, we're back in full swing this week, talking about episode 7, obviously. And I thought that we saw sort of a development here that seems to be a common trend, which if you've watched any of the previous episodes this season, you'll happen to know that the deliberations tend to be sort of a hot mess. And this one in particular definitely did that justice. But we're going to have to get into that. I have bullet points here, what we're going to discuss. And from the top of the episode, you and I have spoken in the previous episode sort of about how we do like when seeds are planted into like further developments. Mm-hmm. However, this was an instance where seed planting kind of didn't really jive with me in this one particular instance. They were like heavily focused on Callum and talking about his personal life and like giving you sort of like a glimpse into more of who he was, when we kind of haven't really been seeing him like in terms of who he was as a person for most of the season. Mm-hmm. Anybody kind of that knows the formula would know that that's typically when they're showing somebody who hasn't really been shown for the past few episodes. That usually means that either A, they're going to completely make an ass out of themselves, or they're possibly going home on that episode. I think they made it pretty obvious that Callum was going home this episode right from the very start.
Well, what's funny though is like I was wondering that, but then when the deliberation happened and he wasn't, you know what I mean, like nominated, I kind of forgot about Callum all over again because we didn't know what the third draw was. Mm-hmm. So like I kind of actually was not as on top of that plot point and was actually a little surprised when his name was called by Devin. Like in the beginning I'm like, oh, we're getting more of Callum, but then it's like, oh, okay, it's gonna be Corey and I'm spacing. Who was the other guy?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, thank you. And then it was like all of a sudden Callum, like that actually did shock. Did you know that Devin was gonna say Callum's name then based on how the episode was formulated?
Well, I understand why you would think that Callum wouldn't have been going in because, it doesn't make much sense when you see like the two people that were thrown down. Plus, we didn't know what would happen if, you know, when you're pulling out the things. But when I interviewed Jessica, she said that I don't think they showed it from what I remember, but she said that when she got eliminated, she knew Devin was going in like as a mercenary. So she told Devin to pick Callum because Callum was rude to her or whatever in the first deliberation. So that was why that didn't get shown, but that's because Jessica and Devin were apparently off the show, like sort of a thing at that time. So she was the one who told Devin to pick Callum.
Oh my God. If you're just listening to the audio, that's my jaw is on the ground. Like, holy hell. Oh my God. That's insane.
I wish they would have said that because it would have added a little bit more spice.
Yeah, because it also felt a little bit random. Like, I mean, like, I don't know what I would have done if I was in Devin's shoes because he's, like, the newest champion, right? Like, right. That's a lot of pressure. That's not, like, you're not CT. You're not Derek. You haven't, like, proven. I mean, you've proven you can win. It's a big deal. I'm not trying to downplay it. Mm-hmm. But you also, like, you know what I mean? Like, kind of, some people are one-hit wonders, right? And so you don't want to lose a mercenary position so fresh off of your win. I think that's what I'm trying to say. But like, I think Devin's in a similar boat where he doesn't know as many people, both personally and also depending on how much he's watched the international franchises or not, you know, like it's like he might be flying as blind as like us in some ways.
Yeah.
So it's like, I was so like, I have no idea who he's gonna pick, and Callum felt so random. And then it was funny to see that he and Michelle are friends, and she was all mad, but he didn't know they were dating. It was like another layer of like, this season's just a hot mess. Like, no one knows what's going on, period.
I mean, it makes sense in retrospect, because if Devin was kind of in a little thingy with Jessica at the time, and he doesn't even know Callum. So if the girl you're dating or whatever, or at least seeing, is like, this guy was an ass to me, and you don't know him, like, it's no skin off your back. Like, come down here, buddy. Let's handle some business.
Right. Absolutely. Nothing to lose.
Yeah. Sure. So shout out to Devin being the white knight. Oh my god, what a scholar. We also saw the seed planting of sort of what was going to come between Corey and the whole Melissa and Big T thing. We'll get into that too, but if you follow seed planting, you'll know what we're going to talk about once we get to it. I want to talk about the daily challenge. Because I don't know if it's because of like the ropes above water with the heights, but this also reminded me of one of the daily challenges from the ruins as well. Do you remember the one daily challenge where it was on the ruins where they were swinging on the rope and they like were going like around and you had to land on like the platform and they were all like catching the girls and everything? And I think Siobhan was, that's the one where Siobhan popped the implant.
Oh my god, that was the ruins. I forgot that was that season. Yeah, I remember what you're talking about. Yeah. It's similar. I kind of like though that some of the challenges, the dailies, remind us of old school challenges, because that's kind of what made it fun.
This is the second time that we did a previous recap, the one where they were climbing up the rope that one week, that also reminded me of the one that Wes was throwing.
Egregiously throwing.
I think that this season's definitely done a good job of having daily challenges that are somewhat reminiscent of the past, but not like all this like spy crap and like explosion centric.
Yeah, it's really nice to not be in an action movie and just to be in an adventure movie. That's how I feel. Like, they're just having adventures on the water and whatever else they're doing. And it's just like, it's nice. It's reminiscent of what made the challenge fun.
Yeah, and how about, Corey with the heights there, right? Like, not was really jiving with him too well.
Yeah.
I like when people are afraid of heights, though, because it adds, like, a funny, like, reality element to what was going on. You know who would have been really funny if he was still around for this? Huey. Huey, like, is, like, deathly afraid of heights. I think I saw a few clips during Spies, Lies, and Allies on season 37. He was like throwing tantrums every single time he had to do like a heights challenge. So listen, anybody being afraid of heights is going to add, like, obviously, you know, you're going to have your meatheads out there watching this that are like, this is a sport. You guys can't be scared. Like, but anybody that goes for the reality element will definitely be able to enjoy the, you know, aspect of people being afraid, because think about it, people watching this at home are probably afraid of heights. I mean, I'm like, you know,
I'm afraid.
Yeah. I mean, I could tell you how many times I've climbed a ladder before where I'm just like sort of, you know, subconscious.
Oh my God. My last place in LA was a loft and I had to have a ladder to get up on like cabinets and stuff. And I hated every second, hated it. I like could barely get on the top shelf. I was like, no. I'll fall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I wanted to kind of highlight from this episode too, that was pretty noticeable, is like they were doing a pretty noticeable job of trying to highlight Horacio as like, kind of like his, I don't want to say trepidation or like inability, but sort of like his unwillingness, I guess you could say, to like make any sort of waves with the game. Like, he's almost like, he just for the life of him just does not want to make a game move. And it's a little frustrating to see, because it's like, I don't understand like what you're afraid of. Like, you know, like everybody at some point has to say a name or like you,
yeah,
that's, I mean, it's the, you know, it's kind of the challenge here. You got to at least make a move one time or another. Like, you can't just kind of float by. And I think maybe this is sort of going to lead to his downfall in a sense, because he's got the physical aspect of everything down and everybody like likes him as like a person, but like, I don't know if he's just too nice for the challenge.
I was just going to say that, like, I think he's a nice human, right? Like, that's part of why I like rooting for him. But like in life and in the challenge, you still have to have a backbone and you have to be able to express your opinion. That's just like, there are people out there that are afraid to not be liked. It's like a form of people pleasing, I guess. And like, I know people in real life where they keep inviting the weird guy to the party, right? Because they don't want to be mean or something. And like, all of us are like, now we don't like you as much because you're not protecting our back because you're inviting the creepy guy and the girls don't want to see him. Or like, you know what I mean? Like, this happens outside of the challenge, I feel like, a lot. And I feel bad because it's like, he is a nice guy, but you're completely right. That can be your downfall. And it doesn't mean be a dick. A lot of times people, when they talk about nice people being like walked over or whatever, the people are like, okay, the pendulum's going to swing over too far. Now I don't give an F about anyone. And it's like, no, you just have to be strategic. You just have to know when to shoot your shot, you know, and when to like pick a side or realize, because we're in the seventh episode. This is not an early episode. We're starting to enter the mid season. This is when things get complicated. And if he's a fan of the show, I'm sure he knows, because it's only his second season, but I'm sure he knows this is like when things get a little more complicated. And yeah, it was painful to watch him be so indecisive. Like that was hard to watch.
No, yeah, because TJ even made it easy for him, because it's like, everybody knows that like you have to choose somebody.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
it is what it is. Like, and he still kind of was just like, almost like a kid when they're trying to like, you know, you're trying to go into a pool, but like that first initial, like when you first, you know, like when you first enter a pool, it's that initial shock of like, like, and you're like tiptoe, like, cause you know, your body gets cold or whatever right away. But then once you're in, you're in. Like that was sort of what this reminded me of. Like he was just like tiptoeing towards the pool.
Especially since he had three other people like to take the ball from him. All he had to be back. Like majority ruled. So I wasn't going to say someone else's name or whatever. You know what I mean? Like it just sort of like, it's one thing when it's a solo win or you're in a partner win, cause it could be 50-50 or all on you. But like this was so easy for him to just make someone else a scapegoat and not even get his hands that bloody. Like, let's be real.
Right. Cause Big T was on that team and she's already been on the chopping block. So somehow probably gets heat directed towards her. Yeah. Can I just say, you know, we talked a little bit before about Corey. I got to say he's probably gonna get a lot of heat this week from like, because Big T and Melissa have like a really big like cult like following, and I love both those ladies. So like it's I'm kind of like impartial here. I don't really have a horse in this. I don't have a horse in this race. But Corey is what the show needs from the male standpoint of entertainment, because it seems like all these guys, and I mean this in no shade, I'm just watching this from an objective standpoint, it just feels like a lot of these guys just are holding things back. And it kind of feels like, maybe from a game perspective, like within that environment, it makes more sense to kind of like lay out of the line of fire. But like, if you analyze this from a TV show perspective, it just really doesn't feel like we're getting a whole lot right now from most of the guys. So to Corey's credit, he's both playing the game strategically and competitively while also giving us entertainment, whether it's, you know, intentional or not, it's happening. This is like probably, you know, the second or the last two out of the three episodes, I feel like have been centered around him when it comes to like drama. Cause you had the Aesop thing from episode 5, I believe it was. And then now you've got this on this episode and it's usually like, we haven't seen probably a gay man on this show be like involved and as like central to the story probably since Shane, I would have to say. And then if you're talking just like who he reminds me of, I've made this comparison before, but he's definitely giving off like Frank vibes from like the earlier. Yeah. Yeah.
I still think he's nicer than Frank, but because he's smart, he's athletic, he does have like friends in the house, maybe not after this episode, but yeah, like, oh man, there's so much I want to say. I don't even know where to begin. To what you were saying though about the personalities, I agree, because not to make it about Callum, but Callum is kind of cheating on his girlfriend and there's still no drama, you know, which we'll get to when we get to, but like, you know, like even the stuff that should be dramatic and ratings bonanzas, if you will, like we're just not being fed that. So thank goodness for both Huey and Corey, even though Huey's gone now, but like they're the most interesting males of the season for sure. Like there's not even a competition, like they blow everyone out of the water. Corey. Corey, though, like with this whole thing, the whole deliberation, I was just thinking this is always a hot mess, like you were saying. But it's like, this is why you can't have this many rookies. I know we're not supposed to call them rookies, but
contenders.
Contenders, yeah. It's like, but back in the day, you weren't a vet until you did more than two seasons, like in the early days. So a lot, Corey's still a rookie to me, and that's not any shade towards him, but like Jay's the only vet, or Melissa or Big T. Like those are the vets to me of the season, and that's not like a lot. Maybe I'm missing someone, but like that, again, we're not getting a lot of drama. So I know who people are now, but I'm having trouble keeping track of everyone a little bit still because they're kind of in and out of episodes half the time. But it's just like, there was vets on the show, they would know, they would be commenting on how cringe it is what Corey did. Like, I get what Corey thought he was doing, but this is why vets are seasoned. There's a difference between in theory and execution, and he really kind of wet the bed.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, you're definitely hitting on the head. I think Jay's the only one that's done more than his second. This, because for most of these people, this is their second season. I think this is Jay's like fifth, I want to say, or fourth.
Yeah.
Total Madness, Double Agents. Yeah, this is his fourth. Okay. So everyone else is on their second. This is his fourth. But yeah, we're kind of lacking that that presence that's kind of needed, especially on the male side. Jesus, it's like a huge discrepancy right now between, like, you know, even the females and the males right now in terms of who's providing. But I think his mindset here, Corey, was to he kind of felt himself slipping out of the USA group of people, and he wanted to prove that he wanted to prove his allegiance. Yeah. And I think, like, in his mind, he thought, okay, by me telling these women from the UK side that I've been using you, quote unquote, this entire time for information in front of everybody, I'll look like this, like, noble, like, honest, like, ballsy type of guy, and they'll respect it. But I think, like, him making as big a stink as he did, like, just kind of scapegoated him. And I will say this, because obviously we saw, like, Big T and Melissa get, like, hurt by this, and I know from what I've kind of seemingly gathered here, this is going to be a big talking point on social media this week, and I think Corey is going to be getting a lot of hate. Not to, like, interject my, like, thoughts on the matter, but what I think is, like, I think people are going to think, because Corey used them for info about the game, that the conversations that he had with them on a personal level ultimately become null and void. For me, I think, like, I don't think that he was being fake nice to her about, like, the coming out. I don't think the coming out stuff was fake. I think that was, like, genuine, like, conversations. I think the only, like, when he says using them, I think it was just solely, like, the game stuff that they talked about.
I agree. There's space for a lot of things to be true at once. You can enjoy someone's company and still have some ulterior motives. You can have a sincere conversation that you would never use against them, but when it comes to, like, a sincere conversation about the game versus personal matters, you will, you know. And these people are taped in a house for 24 hours, you know, and at this point it's been a few weeks, so you're bound to have a variety of conversations, and some are going to go deep, and it doesn't mean that it's null and void, as you put it. Like, and I agree, he, again, it was like what I was saying about the in theory and execution. He thought by doing this, it would strengthen his alliance, and instead it just made him look kind of shady. And like, misguided, I guess would be a good word. So like rookies are gonna rookie. But
Yeah,
I
seemingly
mean,
only one.
I feel bad for Melissa and Big T though, because that's like a kind of a public tar and feather
Embarrassment,
a little
yeah.
bit. Yeah, like, and they already had a rough week the week before. I like Corey. I don't think he's a bad guy. I'm curious to see how he evolves on the show. You know, like that's gonna be a very interesting arc. I hope they keep recasting him in all honesty, because I'm curious because he's a good guy, but oh man, something's not clicking with how he's playing the game, and he's getting the villain edit. He is, and maybe even deservedly so. But I like all these people. What a mess, though. What a mess.
I hope next time we see Big T and Melissa, they've got a lot more people on their side
I
because they just
know.
seem to be like, well, not seem to be. It's pretty obvious that they're not really out of compared to their most other seasons, they're kind of not enjoying themselves, nor do I kind of blame them.
No. And yet they seem like the life of the party. You know, like, why would you not
I
want to be a
mean,
part
they're
of themselves?
carrying the season as far as I'm concerned from
I
like
know.
the women's perspective.
Agreed. 100% agreed. 100 with a little bit of Michelle and sometimes we haven't seen Berna in a couple episodes, but like they bring some drama at least. Like those are the four women that I think kind of matter the most in terms of like a viewership, you know, entertainment perspective. And then we got Huey and Corey, and Huey's gone.
Yeah. What did you think about this because we saw like the quote unquote date between Michelle and Callum. As somebody who's, all for a good rom-com every now and then, I kind of found myself not really gravitating towards this one. I was kind of cringing, to be honest with you. I'm not trying to sound like a hater or anything, and I don't know if it's because they planted the idea in our head like earlier in the season that like this dude's like a kind of like I don't want to call him a womanizer, but like he's kind of cheating on like his girlfriend, and I don't understand where that went because unless I'm missing something, I felt like they showed us in like some earlier trailer that that was going to end up coming up as like some plot line or story. And it seems like they
Oh
just
my
chose to
God.
not show that.
I think you're totally right. The second you said that, I had like the
Wasn't there
fuzziest
some phone
memory.
call or something that they showed in like some trailer and then it comes back to bite them? And it doesn't seem like they even chose to show that, unless I'm just imagining things.
No, I don't think you are. I think I'm having the same memory. We're both in the same Mandela effect universe if that doesn't exist, because I know what you're talking about, because it felt like, of course this is going to blow up. So of course they put it in like the I think it was after the first episode where they do, because you know they have this teasers, previews for like the whole season, but then once you watch the first episode, you kind of get a meatier packet of like what's ahead now that you've been like acclimated into the world. So, and I think it was in that, so we've been kind of, and then they dropped it in the second episode, and now here we are at the seventh, and he's gone. I'm with you though, because it's like I look, I'm a hopeless romantic, but it felt very, I don't like artificial romance, so it was like with the whole like rose petals or whatever they were doing. It was just like, okay, this is a bit much. This is for TV. This does not feel authentic. But like I'm like, I don't really want to root for this couple because I don't think they're end goals. Like I don't even really get to see the connection in all honesty. Like that's never popped for me. But then it's like, doesn't he have a girlfriend and this isn't being addressed? Like it's just a miss. Like they can't even do the romances right this season. Like it's crazy.
Right. Doesn't even feel like we saw any like genuine conversations between them two on a, at least with Horacio and Nerys,
Yeah.
we're actually seeing like a human to human like kind of development where
Yep.
Nerys is like sort of telling him like in those conversations they were having, I think on the previous episode about how like he's sort like how she sees him sort of as like more of like a real man because he's not being like he's not status quo as like all of those like, F boys are out there like
Yep.
partying and all this other shit. And like he's kind of like more on the reserved, like laid back, more shy side, I guess.
Yeah, no, I agree, as well as with Melissa, and I'm gonna forget his name again. I'm gonna be me and forget his
Kylan.
name. Kylan. Yeah, like you saw a couple interactions with them that were also deeper. I just, when Michelle was talking in the confessionals in this episode, and she's like, he just hits all the boxes, and like, he would hang out with my family. I know.
Tell us what the boxes are.
What? Like, all I know about the guy is that, like, he seems nice enough in the confessionals. Like, he doesn't seem like a dick, but he has this other girlfriend, and he has a lot of tattoos. That's what I know about him. I know nothing else. Like,
yeah. Oh, man. Well, I mean, you know, fortunately, we don't have to see this supposed love story play out any longer, because unfortunately for her, that was another thing too. Her, like, sort of, like, I don't think she was crying, but it looked like she was like, had tears in her eye, like in the elimination, like glossy eyed. I was kind of like,
yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Devin came in as a mercenary, and again, I actually am not really a big mercenary guy this season. I feel like it's messing up the flow of the game. I want to see the people that are actually, like, getting into fights and, like, pushing the storylines, like, go in against each other rather than, like, somebody go in and have to face somebody who doesn't even know what the hell is going on in the house. Like,
well, and it's also, like, this was a good matchup because Corey was causing, you know what I mean, like, issues, right? And they took a big hit with or not a big hit, sorry, they made a big move with Emmanuel, right? And so it's just kind of like, you're expecting that matchup that would have been a good matchup, and then Devin or whomever it would have been, it doesn't even just have to be Devin, it could have been CT, it doesn't matter, throws like a big wrench in the works about the plot or the arc or whatever you want to call it going on in the show. And then suddenly neither is going in, which was exciting to watch. I'm not going to lie, because I didn't know what the third draw was going to be. And I, like I said earlier, I didn't know it was going to be Callum. So it was, from a viewer, I was kind of on the edge of my seat and I was surprised, but it also was very anticlimactic to have all that Corey drama, to have it literally go nowhere. And not because he skated by, but because him and his opponent were not even going in.
Right.
And now it's like, we get to rehash that next week. There's no fallout besides the fact that everyone doesn't like Corey now.
And well, I'm glad, because Corey's coming back at least for another week.
I am too. Oh, trust me, I'm glad too. But it's just like, in terms of like washing and repeating, you know what I mean? It's just like, I don't know. I don't really like the mercenaries this season either. It's just, it's throwing too many wrenches in the works.
Well, if we don't like it now, I'm saying it right now, whether it be next week, in a few weeks, there is going to be a mercenary outcome that is going to piss us off. Like, oh, and I'm not saying this as a spoiler. I'm saying this as a premonition.
Yeah. Oh no.
There's gonna come a point in time where, like, we're gonna like get robbed of either like a really good enticing elimination matchup between like two people actually in the game, or somebody we really like is gonna like get eliminated by like somebody that like we don't care about.
Or it's gonna be like such an unfair fight. Like, they're gonna bring in CT, who, let's be real, is probably gonna win whatever he does.
Yeah.
And it'll be against whoever the weakest guy is, or whatever that they lack in that elimination. And it's just I was gonna say something else about the mercenaries, but now I kind of forget what I was gonna say, so never mind. But yeah, it's just a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like Corey might have like won this elimination if he went in.
I think he would have too. That was the thing too. Like, I mean, Devin's good. I'm not a Devin hater, but unlike when Jordan came in, I was not convinced he was gonna win. Like, I was like, we'll see. He's pretty good at this stuff, but like, he's not a shoo-in to win, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, because I mean, you would have thought Devin would have been a shoo-in with this kind of elimination.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he's more like with the whole like smart number and stuff, but it kind of was a lot closer than you would think. Like, I would have expected that to kind of be like a blowout, because
once we knew what the elimination was, I was like, oh, Devin has it. But yeah, earlier when he was coming in, I'm like, I don't know, this could go a lot of different ways. Corey could probably beat him in a lot of things, as could Emmanuel. So I was like, I don't know. But yeah, once we knew what it was, I was surprised Devin lagged as much as he did, for sure.
Well, episode 8, the trailer to next week, shows more Melissa, and we're kind of going to see something between her and Raven. looks like in the club, and I'm all for that.
Yeah, I'm for that too.
Inject it into my veins, please.
Seriously, because I feel like we're sleeping on Raven. I feel like she gave us some drama, but she can give us more, and that'd be nice for sure.
Like, I'm waiting for that because I feel like she's got potential. I'm just waiting to just reel it out of her. You know what I'm saying? Like, we saw like glimpses in episode 3, I want to say, with the whole like going back and forth on your own alliance.
But, yeah.
Like, died down a little bit, but Melissa has been consistently like, for me, like number one. As far as like the entertainment people, you know, and anybody that's been calling me a suck up for Melissa, I mean, go watch the damn episode and come back to me. And then you tell me who's the suck up, because I'm a proponent of entertaining TV, and that's all I'm a proponent of. All right. So.
Yep. No, I'm with you. Thank goodness for her, Big T, and Corey, honestly, like, that's why I like this episode, because it at least involved entertaining people, and it was fun.
There is potential to be had on the women's side. I can't say the same for the men. I can't say the same for the men right now, and I'm not to say that that can't change, but I'm just like, I see potential waiting to be had with more of the ladies outside of, like, you know, Melissa, Big T, and like Michelle. But I just kind of feel like with the guy side, I think they're just like kind of like scared to show their cards, and everyone's kind of like,
I think it's a combination of things. Cause I think with like the women, we've seen, I think, them around a little bit more, whereas like a lot of the men are straight up imports, you know, that we have not been on an American Challenge at all. So it's harder to even know what they bring to the table, especially with how it's being edited or what they're doing. But I do also wonder if like the men are kind of playing by their P's and Q's. Cause like, look back at even like 5+ years ago of the challenge, it was more of a battleground in terms of like a lot of toxic behavior, which sucks, but it does make for good TV. And a lot's changed in culture the past several years. So I almost, because I've noticed this in real life, like sometimes men are afraid to say anything or even ask out a woman because they don't want to come across as a creep or whatever. And that's like good. But usually if you're thinking that way, you're probably not a creep. But I've noticed like a lot of like decent guys are just very in their heads. And I wonder if that's also translating to reality TV, especially a show like The Challenge, where it has such a like storied, documented history of men not behaving well specifically. I mean, everyone doesn't behave well, but you know, there were a lot of sexism, there was a lot of power dynamics and other stuff that like went down on the challenge. So I wonder if they're just too afraid of being an Evan or a Kenny, if you will. Like, I'm gonna throw that name out, right? Those out there. And so they're almost being milquetoast versus having a personality that could be misconstrued. Does that make sense?
No, it does. But like, I want you to think about it like from this perspective. So I think everybody, to some extent, once the initial introduction or icebreaker has been made, you tend to see like probably a more accurate depiction of who somebody's personality is. And let's just use this for example. I'm sure like with these men, like if you're a producer and you're like just in a one-on-one setting with them, at like a bar, at like anything, you're just having a bite to eat with them, I'm sure in that one-on-one chat, they might come across as like, oh, this person's really outgoing, this person's really charismatic. Yeah. But then if you put them in a setting where you're like, all right, now you're in an auditorium through full of people, go out on the stage and be funny and like tell some jokes, like they're going to kind of like tense up a little, you know what I'm saying? So like,
totally,
people that might be charismatic in one-on-one conversations might not translate over into like compelling or entertaining TV once you have cameras on you. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. And I think like, yeah, I think it's like, it's all the things, because I think a lot of people too, to your point, sometimes the most interesting person in the room is the quietest, right? They're not necessarily extroverted, but they've had this crazy life. They have interesting perspectives. And maybe that's also what's going on with this season. Like, it could be a lot of like extroverted introverts who are definitely more introverted though. And then you put too many of them in a room without enough foils to bring out their crazy side, or bring out being forced to pick a side, or whatever it may or may not be. Cause everyone seems so passive and kind of like whatever this season. I wonder. It just feels like a weird. I'm so curious about what the casting process was, because as we've mentioned in almost every episode, there's a couple, a Shane, a Nani, a Josh. Like, there's so many people that also haven't won that would have added so much to this season. And it's so many international people or people who have been on one like season. And it's just like, what happened? Were so many people just not available? Did, like, I don't understand. Like, it's just like, all these, and to your point, everyone's kind of like low key. Even the cheating scandal's low key. Like, what is going on? Like, this is such a backfire. What did the casting directors think was going to happen this season? I don't understand.
All I can do is pray for 40 on episode, yeah. I mean, on season 40, that we get something, you know, we could hitch our wagons to.
And All Stars 4.
And All Stars 4 if it comes out.
God, do you think it's not going to come out? Is there
rumors? I mean, if I put my tinfoil hat on, I'd say there's possibly a chance that it couldn't come out. But I think if I'm putting on my logistics hat, I think it would be kind of silly to not release a season that you spent money to one produce. You paid all these people to come like film for about a month. Like, I just don't think that'd be really wise. At least, like, try and get some of your residuals back on it, you know?
I know, right? Yeah, I hope so. I heard they were going to do it after this season.
I mean, that would make sense. Yeah, I'd say that we're on episode, this was episode 7. So we're probably episode, what, like 10 is probably like considered midway, probably. Like, we're a little past a quarter of the way probably right now. I'm sure there's going to be like maybe 20 episodes, which still feels like a lot.
With counting reunions and stuff too. Cause it's usually like 18 or 20 per season, depending on how they combine stuff, break it up, have two-parters, whatever. Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yep. Yep. That's true. Oh man.
That would have felt like a sweet spot too, 10.
Well, especially when there was like an hour episode. Cause remember it used to be a half hour and then that took forever because it was like 18 episodes and now it's like we get a lot more content with as many episodes. Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. Some of these episodes are so long too. They're like a full hour. It's crazy. Not just like 40 minutes of commercials, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. At least the drama is getting good and at least the people that are interesting have not gone home. I mean, Callum was interesting because we wanted to know what the hell was going on with his relationship. But I mean, all the people that are causing drama actively on camera are still here.
Yep. Well, that's a good thing for us.
Yeah. Otherwise, we'd be like, oh God, I'm so bored. We have to.
I don't know what we're, if, oh my God, when the day comes when we lose some of our people, if and when, Jesus, it's going to be a long day at the office for us.
Uh-huh. They better be queuing up the other people so we have stuff to look forward to and they're just gonna finally let the mask drop or whatever, because you've sent me some stuff too where like articles where this is a low ranked season, like it's not
ratings wise it is
so I mean, like, I don't think, hopefully people listening to us feel seen, because I think what we're saying represents what a lot of people are thinking, you know, because it's like it's fine, it's not terrible, it's just a lot of, well, chaos, not to use one of their terms that I think is kind of stupid, but the season's just a mess.
I mean, hey, we're honest here, but we're not mean, so
we like people, we just aren't, it's just a weird chemistry, all of them together.
That's the word, chemistry.
Yeah,
yes. Lovely people, I'm sure, but
yes,
collectively,
interesting people, but like you're saying, on camera or in a group, not shining for whatever the reason.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, everybody, this was episode 7 recap. Hopefully, if you made it this far, you don't consider us a bunch of haters, but we're just pessimistic people. That's all. I'm joking.
We just love the challenge. We're like the parents that are like playing bad cop, where it's like, you can do better. We love you, but you can do better.
That's exactly what it is. We're just fans wanting the best out of people. And if people like us aren't objective and aren't honest, then we're just going to keep getting more of what we're saying. So
awesome.
Sure, there's somewhere else where you can find the, you know, pats on the back, but not here. So.
Hopefully next week.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. All right. Well, it was fun again. So yes, thank you.
Bye. Yeah.